Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
And a pleasant good afternoon and a beautiful Friday afternoon it is. Welcome to Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas will be joined by the best color analyst in the NFL, Deuce McAllister, in just a little bit. Charlie Long in the booth for this afternoon, 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock for Fans in the Pro. Then it'll be the Brian Kelly Show, and then big night for high school football, the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup at 7 o'clock. So at 4:30 this afternoon, we will talk to the man, Steve Tasker. Yes, the former Buffalo Bill. He was drafted by Houston, Charlie, in the 9th round. Immediately you go, oh, okay. Played 12 years, was part of all, you know, the Super Bowl teams, but we'll get his thoughts. He's a One Bills Live, WGR Radio, at Steve Tasker 89. Look forward to talking to him. Then at 5:20, we'll talk LSU and Ole Miss. Chris Gordy, Locked On, the SEC host, at Chris Gordy. LSU and Ole Miss tomorrow, both of them unbeaten. And, you know, all you really want is you want a victory. You give me some entertainment like 23 and 24, right? Those games, try. I mean, unbelievable.
I can't wait for this weekend of college football. Mike, we did our pick six yesterday. Mike, Steve, myself, Bobby, we do it every single week. This is the best college football week I've seen in a while. If you compile just not just LSU versus Ole Miss, but also Alabama and Georgia, Penn State and Oregon, it's all these great matchups. And that's just three of the top 25 matchups. There's other top 25 matchups as well, like a USC-Illinois game, and then other really fun conference games. Tomorrow's going to be great, man. And the LSU-Ole Miss game is probably the most anticipated one for me personally, because I can't wait to watch Blake Baker's defense go against Lane Kiffin's offense. Top 10 defense in the country, top 10 offense in the country. You want to talk about two great units butting heads? It's going to be awesome.
I would not think that anybody would use any defensive game film from the last 2 years, right? So in 2023, 1,343 yards of offense in that crazy game in 23. And then in 2024, when LSU came back, win in overtime, 29-26, that game had 885 yards of total offense. So two games. Last two between LSU and Ole Miss have brought on 2,228 yards of offense.
Mike, I'm buying into the hype that Garrett Nussmeier is getting healthy. You know, Coach Kelly's talked about it all week, starting from the Monday presser, that he obviously was feeling a lot better in that Southeastern game. That's why he looked so good versus what he looked like in those first 3 weeks. And then, you know, as you progress through the week, you hear, I used it in the sports flash there just a second ago, Coach Kelly talking about how comfortable he feels coming off that torso injury that he suffered at fall camp. And they really haven't unlocked the dimension of the deep passing game in this offense. And that's something that Nussmeier can obviously do. We saw it all last year. And it's something that LSU has the weapons that they can stretch the field offensively with Nussmeier's arm. So if he is legitimately getting to that point where he is 100%, and I know that he may not necessarily be 100%, but it sounds like he's getting closer and closer to that point. And if he can sling it against this Ole Miss defense, and if Ole Miss's defensive line, which has replaced a ton of pieces from last year's team, can't really get after him, you can see Nussmeier and this LSU offense put up some big points again. It's going to be a matter of, you know, how does this LSU defense fare probably against their toughest task of the season in this Ole Miss offense?
Right. I think it's hard to quantify, both teams 4-0 record, right? I mean,
yeah.
Clemson first week, then you got, you know, Louisiana Tech, Florida, Southeastern. So it's difficult. And Kentucky and Arkansas for Ole Miss, that Tulane win was big points. I was not expecting that. But so I think it's hard to really kind of look at both 4-0s and go, well, you know, yeah, you know, the Clemson win has a little shine taken off of it. But, man, it's going to be – you're right. Great weekend. Begins tonight. Huge Saturday. And then Sunday, really, you got Washington and Atlanta, big game, because it's always the NFC South. Philadelphia, 3-0, at Tampa, 3-0. Here's the surprise game. Baltimore at Kansas City, both 1-2 Sunday afternoon. So it's going to be, I think if Tampa Bay wins this game and Baker Mayfield does what he's been doing, you know, they've started 2-0 all the time. We're used to that. 3-0 is a bit of a surprise. I mean, they could be 0-3. I mean, this team could be 0-3. Right? I mean, it's last second drives, especially the Houston game. Houston almost handed them
ripped
that
my heart out for pick six that week.
I remember that. Yeah, you had Houston.
Yeah, I had Houston. And then I had Atlanta in the first week, and then Younghoe Koo misses the field goal to tie it to potentially send it to overtime. And that's after Baker Mayfield had led that game-winning drive. So Mayfield's been doing it, man. I mean, Mike Dettillier continues to say over and over again, he's the difference in the NFC South, and he really is. I mean, that is the gap between starting 0-3 and starting 3-0 is having a quarterback in crunch time that you can really, really count on. And he's delivered time after time again. So, yeah, I mean, I'd still go with – we didn't pick that game yesterday. I decided instead to go with the primetime game with the Packers at the Cowboys and Micah Parsons' return to Dallas. I think that's a really fun game as well.
Green Bay, Dallas. I forgot about it.
The Cowboys did not look good this past week against Chicago, and they lost their best weapon. So I'm kind of expecting the Packers to roll in that game. And Micah Parsons is going to be a terror on that defensive line. So we'll see what happens. But as far as, you know, the Eagles and the Buccaneers, Mike, the Eagles' comeback against the Rams last week, obviously I wasn't watching it because Fox wasn't carrying it here. It was carrying the Raiders-Commanders game, right? So we weren't necessarily keeping up with it play-by-play, but we have the stats sheet that we can use for every single NFL game. And I was just watching the ticker, and it was 26-7 for the Rams. I'm like, what the heck is happening? And then all of a sudden, the Eagles start coming back. They start coming back. They take the lead, 27-26. What is going on? And then the blocked field goal at the end of the game, and they end up winning and covering as well, which was really fun. it's going to be a fun game as well. I expect the Eagles to take care of business, though. I think in that comeback, you maybe learned a little bit of something about that Philadelphia Eagles team, where they very well could have lost that game to the Rams, but they end up pulling it off.
You talked about it in your report, and so we knew Chase Young and really Dylan Raidenze. I didn't think either one would play just from listening to Coach earlier in the week. Devon Vele, we'll see. Really, for Buffalo, having Matt Milano out, he's got a pec injury in week two. Also, Ed Oliver, man, that's really hurt their run-stopping ability. How about Ed Oliver? So they start out practice week two, right? They just beaten Baltimore in the last second field goal, and then a teammate steps on his foot and he hurts his ankle. And that's why Ed Oliver has missed weeks two and three, and now he's going to, you know, miss four. And Spencer Brown, who has been limited, also questionable, and defensive end Al Epinesa, also questionable. He's got one of their three turnovers. So, well, I mean, if you're Buffalo, you can easily understand Sean McDermott going, well, we got New England next week.
Right.
Do we bring him back?
Well, look at the AFC East as well, Mike. Is there anyone that's going to come close to Buffalo in that division? Miami's in the dumps. The Jets are in the dumps consistently. Everyone was thinking, oh, maybe, you know, New England could be a surprise team this year. They're off to a 1-2 start. The Buffalo Bills are going to run away with that division. I would be surprised if they picked up a single division loss. I know division games are interesting, and they can always be surprise matchups because you play a team twice a year, but Buffalo is just better than everyone in the AFC East.
I have spent way too much time watching Buffalo this week. It's disheartening.
They're legit, Mike.
They do a lot of things well, and they do a lot. They just do it a lot. And so we'll talk more about it. Deuce McAllister, Mike Cost, take a quick break. This is Fans in the Pro on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Back after this on WWL. AMFM.com, always free on the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister with you. I want to shout out to Magazine Pizza for feeding our Saints game day crew. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine. Dine in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. And hot off the football field, Deuce McAllister, man, watches more football in person than most even watch on television. How are you?
Doing well, and I had to cut back.
I mean, the predicted 100 in person before January. That's tough to maintain.
I had to cut back. I mean, life's life start life in a little bit, and then you're just like, man, I'm spending a lot of time coming up and down the highways in Mississippi and Louisiana, and it's just like, you know what? Maybe I can catch this on YouTube or what's the video, Huddle, or you know, some of the school channels. And yeah, but I probably won't hit 100. Probably more on track for high 70s.
Still pretty impressive. Two today, because as soon as you leave here, you're going back to with a game that you started with. And so we're talking Saints and the Bills in Buffalo, 1 o'clock there, noon here, weather not a factor. In fact, it's supposed to be like 75, 77 degrees. It's going to be 84 here. So let's bring in Steve Tasker, former Buffalo Bills All-Pro, seven-time Pro Bowl, now the host of One Bills Live on WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG, at Steve Tasker 89. Steve, welcome to the show. You're on with Mike Haas and the great Deuce McAllister.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it. Looking forward to the game.
Well, your team is pretty impressive. I've watched all of the games. When even for a home team, to be 3-0 and to come out Monday 16.5-point favorites, that's just a lot to digest. And I've watched your team. They are every bit as good as advertised at 3-0. Without Ed Oliver, without Matt Milano, both ruled out again, is that like the only Achilles heel for this team right now, is really kind of the ability to stop the run consistently?
Well, that's been – yeah, it's the defensive side. The offense is – with Josh Allen and the guys they got and the way they're running their offense, they're a wagon right now. They can go all the way from 13 personnel with three tight ends on the field or go spread out and go four wide with a running back in the backfield and win that way too. It's, yeah, their offense is a wagon. Defensively, they've had some problems. Pretty first and second down, they've been pretty good, but they cannot get a team off the field in third down. I'm kind of with you. I saw the 16.5-point spread early in the week. I was like, I don't know.
Felt like a college game.
I've been watching, you know, like you, I've watched the Saints, and I don't see the Saints too much, but I've watched all three of their games, and they don't seem like that far away. I mean, I'm kind of liking what I'm seeing from Spencer Rattler. Certainly he's got a ways to go, but he's got a live arm. He's an aggressive, courageous quarterback. I don't think the Saints have played their best football yet, but I think they're on their way towards it. So, yeah, I'm with you. Now, the Bills are a tough team to beat because you do kind of have to keep up with them on the scoreboard. and their defense is really opportunistic. And as good as it, as bad as the defense can look at times, they are pretty consistently, they give a full effort all the way through 60 minutes. And they are really good at turning out turnovers, which is usually an unpredictable stat. But over the past 3 or 4 or 5 years, they've been at the top five of the league every single year and getting turnovers. So there's, they've got that working for them. But I think that's what you think about when you see this Bills team play. They're a tough out on offense. And defensively, though, you might feel like you can maybe keep up with that offense here and there.
Steve, I got two questions. This is Deuce for you. I got two questions, and one is just the quarterback and how special he is of a player. And it seems like as more people kind of bring him up to the top, kind of where he has been. You know, when you have all of the elite quarterbacks, you look at Allen and said, "All right, yeah, he is that good." How has he been able to kind of handle the pressure and the added, "Hey, the spotlight's on me." You know, I am not only the face of the Buffalo Bills, but you know, I'm one of the faces of the NFL.
Deuce, I got to tell you, he's a special guy. He's unbelievable. He's just the same guy now that he was as a rookie coming in. Obviously, he's learned a bunch of stuff about playing quarterback since then. But he's the same kid he was when he's going to high school or in Fireball, California. He's just a really down-to-earth guy. He loves his team, loves his teammates. He puts his arms around all the guys on the roster. That's the way he lives his life, and he's the same guy today as he was 5 years ago and 8 years ago and 10 years ago. So that his comfort in being himself is really what has carried him through and allows him to kind of handle all that stuff you mentioned really, really well. And of course, when he gets on the field, Deuce, I've never seen anybody like him. He's unbelievable. I mean, he's like a John Elway, kind of a physical freak athlete, big, tall, rangy, huge arm, who can run with anybody on the field. And over the course of the last 3 or 4 years, he's gotten to the point where he can just stand in the pocket and beat you. He didn't have to use his wheels at all. He has worked very hard to improve his game, and you can see it when he comes out. The way they run their offense is this thing they call everybody eats. They don't have a number one guy. Josh throws it to the guy who's got the best matchup and who wins. He doesn't get impatient, try to throw it down the field just to stop getting first downs. He doesn't, you know, crave the big play. He knows if he hits him short on the right area, they'll turn it upfield and get a big play. He's as good a quarterback right now as I've ever seen in this city, and that includes my good friend Jim Kelly. This guy's a different animal, and he has elevated the entire organization because of his play.
Yeah, and that's high praise, and I think that it's definitely accolades that he deserves. And, you know, one of the my other question that I had for you, the rules of special teams for a guy like yourself that, you know, kind of cut his teeth in that area. What are your thoughts on not only from the kickoff return rules, but just how they have not eliminated special teams completely, but you know how they've tried to make it a little bit more exciting? And then your take on, you got kickers that can kick from 65 yards but can't consistently sometimes hit from 40 within.
They changed the kickoff, you know, 5-10, I don't know when it was, I was in the room when they had the kickoff summit, and they stopped letting guys get a running start, and at that point Troy Vincent, the vice president of football operations for the league, said, "Listen, we are committed to keeping the foot in the game." So they knew they weren't going to just do away with the kickoff completely, but they had to change it a lot because of the injuries. You know, you had guys, you know, guys like me and you running down, busting up a wedge, and the wedge coming back at them, and there's guys running full speed at each other, and nobody's trying to avoid contact. So it was a train wreck. They did away with that. They lined guys up, let them all run down there together. And then when they moved this year, when they moved the touchback to the 35, that changed everything. Teams are putting the ball in play. They've made it a dynamic play once again. And they've really gotten it back to more like it was when I was playing, you know, 25 years ago, when a guy can really make a difference by making a great play on special teams. For a long time, the best plays on special teams were because of some catastrophic mistake by the other team. No, you know, no matter how well you played, it was just too easy to keep you from doing something good for your team. Now, with the kickoff back in the game, it's back in play again. And I think it's been a lot of fun to watch. You've seen a lot of games turn on it. I know that the Saints had a nightmare of a start there in Seattle this last week with the punt return, the block punt, and the kick return that got it back past midfield. And that's a bad day. But it's also one of those days where, hey, you can fix that stuff. And I'm sure that they're working hard to do that.
Yeah, and Steve, I have to clarify, I agree with you. That was a very, very bad day. I mean, and some of the, you know, when you're giving a lineman, and, you know, whether it's my wing or whether it's my up back, and we don't count it right. You know, you leave a short corner, that spells problem. But I do want to clarify one thing. You were the madman that were running down and busting up the weds. For me,
you never got the short straw.
I did not get. You're exactly right. I never got that short straw. I was going to be a safety, or hey, you better go try to. I wanted to go make the tackle. I knew I didn't have enough. I didn't have enough in me to go and say, oh yeah, I want to take on that wedge. It's three of them. I can do that. That was you that were the madman. So I want to give you your props there, sir.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a little bit like being the world's best ditch digger, too, so not much glory in it.
Well, Steve, this is an interesting story. I hope that I will get to a question at the end of it, because when I tell the story, it's information, and I think most people are going to go, well, you're talking about some 0-3 team, not the Buffalo Bills, and it's special teams, right? Your kicker, Tyler Bass, hurt. So a practice squad elevation, Matt Prater, who's 41 years old, is signed to the active roster. He's a Saturday PSE elevation, kicks the game winner. So you're still waiting. Bass is on IR. His fourth game will be this week. But, you know, I don't think people know that the guy that won the game was a PSE on Saturday. So hold on. And then your punter, you have this big battle in training camp. Brad Robbins against Jake Camarda. He was a draft pick for Tampa. We know him well. So they have this huge battle. Robbins wins, goes into the first game, doesn't punt well, has a net of 38. They release him, but they don't sign the guy he was in the battle with, Camarda. They sign Cameron Johnston, who comes in, you know, to punt. And so you've got this weird special teams, like, what's going on? And who are you talking about? That's the 3-0 Buffalo Bills. I mean, some of that stuff, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a little bit of a revolving door, and a little surprising, too. When they had the punter competition between Robbins and Camarda, Robbins clearly won the job, no question about it. So that's why they didn't bring Camarda back. Robbins was just that much better. But when they got in the game, it seemed like Robbins just fell off, just lost it a little bit, lost his mental edge. It's a club that doesn't punt that much, I got to be honest with you. But I think when they cut, I don't want to make it fun. I don't make
that hurts a little bit.
You know, me being a special teams guy, I don't want to make light of it. But I think the most important thing that the Bills punter does is hold for field goals and make sure he can do that good. So they brought him in. They got him going, and they've been pretty happy with his production so far. For the kicker, Matt Prater, they wanted to bring a guy in. They knew that they were going to be in some one-score games. The Bills, for a minute there was 44 games, regular season games, before the Bills lost by double digits. They are always in one-score games, even, you know, when they're not playing well. They're a hard team to run off and leave. So they knew they needed a steady guy who had been around, and whatever moment they were going to stick him into, it wasn't going to be too big for him. So here comes Matt Prater, who's been doing it for 18 years. You knew he's seen it all, and they felt confident plugging him in. The amazing thing about it is, I met the guy, talked to him for a hot minute, and he looks like a third grade math teacher, man. I mean, he is short, skinny, and gray haired, and I mean, I'm okay, you know, but he's got a live leg still, and he's cool as a cucumber, and his process is pure and he puts it down the middle. So you're right. That's been a little bit of a scrambled egg, kind of a roster situation there with the special teams, the specialists. But the new special teams coordinator, Chris Tabor, has brought a little bit of stability to that, and he handles those guys, has handled those guys, even though they haven't had a long relationship. He's handled that crew pretty well, and I think they've been fairly happy with the way their special teams has performed. They've given up one or two kickoff returns, but I think most teams have, because of the fact that they're seeing more of it, and just by statistics, you're going to get a long one now and again because there's so many more returns this year.
Yeah, and you guys kick off so many times. I think he's Prater's kicked off 20 times.
Right? Yeah, so that's the one thing about, I think when Josh is all done, said and done, Josh Allen, that is, when he's all said and done with his career, I think he's going to have a mountain of touchdowns. That's what that guy does. They score a ton of touchdowns with him at quarterback.
Yeah, so you're right. So in week one, there was a 41-yard return. Week two against the Jets, 33. And then Miami had 54. And to Deuce's point, Prater's only missed one, but it was a 39-yarder. And frankly, it was, if you golf, it was a pulled duck hook that barely made the stands. It was like,
yeah,
whoa.
It was really ugly. You almost think, like, did he fall down when he kicked that? And so it was a bad miss. And comes back later in the game, and he kicks an extra point, hits a good field goal at the end to win it.
Yep.
Like nothing.
That's right.
Man, oh, man.
You got to have a short memory.
Woo,
and
yeah.
Cameron Johnson says, he calls up, Prater goes, hey, man, I just got signed. Where is everything? He goes, Prater goes, I don't know. I just got here. Yeah. I don't know where anything is.
That's right. Yeah, the two of the, they're brand new dudes, but they've got a really good culture here. Sean McDermott has a protocol and a way to to acclimatize these guys and get them acclimated to this culture. It's a very close-knit group in that locker room. It starts with Josh Allen, James Cook, Matt Milano, Ed Oliver, those guys that have been around. It's a very close-knit group. Even guys on the practice squad, they brought some old veteran guys back, like Gabe Davis, Jordan Poyer, guys back in, Jordan Phillips, a big defensive lineman, guys who have been here, but they don't expect to have to play, but are culture guys. And it has it makes a big difference when you're kind of churning a little part of your roster to make those guys feel like they belong.
Well, we appreciate greatly your time this afternoon. All Pro Special Teamer, host of One Bills Live on WGR Sports Radio 550 at Steve Tasker 89. Thanks. We'll see you on Sunday, and have a great day.
Be good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Steve.
Played a long time, man. Draft pick originally from Houston. I didn't know this. I was told Charlie earlier, it was in the 9th round. If that gives you an indication of.
Yeah, they don't go that long.
They don't go that.
That's him and Fast Freddy.
I mean,
that's Fast Freddy territory right there, playing a long time, and both of them cutting their teeth as, special team players. But he was a heck of a ball player.
Yep. Be back after this. Fans in the Pro. My call is Deuce McAllister. Charlie Long in the booth here on WWLAMFM.com. Stay with us. Welcome back. Don't forget LSU and Ole Miss tomorrow in Oxford. Start your game day early, 10 a.m. with Mike Dettelier and Herb Tyler on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgate Show. We'll open the doors at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge at 11 a.m. Come out and count down to the big game at Acme with 16 surround sound TVs and all the best drink specials. It's a great place to hang out for LSU and college football. All thanks to the good folks at MAP Construction. And then at 12:30, catch LSU's official pregame show. Kickoff is at 2:30. The voice of the Tigers, Chris Blair, and his analyst, Jacob Hester. Tigers and the Rebels tomorrow. WWL streaming live and always free on the Odyssey app. And I think we'll have to do this one on the plane again, because this is like the last time the Buffalo played. We'd be flying to Seattle. By the time we got there, the game was over. And it's a 2:30 start, so it should be interesting. What do you like? Do you get involved? What do you?
On which part?
LSU Ole Miss.
I like the matchup. I like Ole Miss in the matchup.
Yeah.
If it was in Baton Rouge, then I would probably like LSU. It both teams are, I don't want to call it evenly matches, but there's some strengths for both teams, but I think being at home probably gives Ole Miss the advantage in that situation.
But got to take a quick break. But before we go, because I mentioned this earlier, just because it's just astounding. Because in the 23 game, 55-49, Ole Miss, and in the 24 game, total offensive yards, both games, 2,228. That's two games.
Yeah.
Two games.
Well, I don't like to talk gambling, but Lane Kiffin online, he was talking about something else not related to quote-unquote football. I think it's his daughter's relationship.
Yeah.
And he made the comment of betting the over. So that tells you probably what you want to. And if you're in that world, tell you all you need to – you want to hear and need to hear.
Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't you love that to have to talk, to go out there and talk to the media about your girlfriend, your daughter's boyfriend? Oh, my Lord.
He and she kind of knew it because of social media.
Yeah.
They both put it out there.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, hey, we want to keep it quiet.
You got to confront it when that happens.
Yeah. We got to keep this quiet. It's, you know, no, it's open for the world.
Take a break. Fans in the Pro, Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister back after this. Stay with us. Welcome back, Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, Charlie Long in the booth here on wrapping up our first hour of Fans in the Pro. Lots more coming your way. In the second hour, we'll talk to Chris Gordy at 5:20, locked on the SEC host, as we'll get a little deeper dive into LSU and Ole Miss, a couple of 4-0 teams going at it. We'll talk about some other state schools in action and what they have coming up on a beautiful Friday night for high school football. 6 o'clock, it's the Brian Kelly Show, and then at 7 o'clock, it's the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. Getting close to October. Doesn't feel like it, but we're getting close to it on the calendar. So a lot more coming your way. Keep it right here on Fans in the Pro. The news is coming up next. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to hour number two, Fans in the Pro. Coming up at 5:20, we'll have Chris Gordy locked on the SEC as we'll look a little deeper at the Ole Miss Rebels and LSU, both 4-0. Here is your Ryder Cup roundup. Not looking good right now. Right now it's 5-2 Europe. There is still one match on the course. Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry tied with Sam Burns and Patrick Cantlay. They've got one hole left. This morning it was 3-1 Europe in foursomes. That's the alternate shot. And then the best ball this afternoon. Right now it is 2-1 again with one match there. Say, hey, dude, we're going to be in New York, right? We're the Bethpage Black, New York. We're in New York. We could just zip down, right?
We could.
It's 7 hours. But 500 miles.
I thought we were going to Uber.
Oh, well, the president send his helicopter up. Uber helicopter?
They have them up there. Helicopters up there.
Now you're talking. That man.
We could probably, you know what? We could probably expense it. You know, we're working. We're going to cover. You know, hey, it's a thought.
As long as we keep the lunches and dinners down. Helicopter.
But I don't know if we're going to get reimbursed. But you know, it's a thought.
We'll see. They're falling behind early. They do not play well in foursomes early. Where I don't care where it is. And they fall behind, but we'll see how things go. If they can, that final match will be important as they head into Saturday. Don't want to get too behind before you get to singles on Sunday. I want to take to the phone lines, Carl in Hammond. Carl, welcome. You're on with Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister. What you got for us this afternoon?
Hey, guys. Well, I want to, you know, speak up. I'm probably the only fan in Louisiana that's still for Chris Olave, but I want to talk to Deuce X and O's because he's a strategist. Bobby Hebert talks Chris Olave as, you know, not getting it done, but comparing him to Jackson Smith and Jigba, how is he going to get his yardage up if we're not going downfield? We got small receivers. Even Rashid is not getting a lot of deep patterns. You got to just let these guys go. You got to run go routes. And even if you don't complete them, you're making that defense respect that, which loosens it up, which can be better for AK.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, you know, you can throw a number of deep balls a quarter and or in a half, but like you said, at some point you're going to have to connect on them. They did attempt some more than they did, you know, and particularly week one. Week two, there was an opportunity, but here's the thing as well. When you're down 14 or 21 early, how tight do you think those safeties are going to play? They're not going to play very tight because they are not going to get beat over the top. And so there are some opportunities for the Saints to stretch the field. You've got to be able to connect on them, you know, and I am of the neighborhood of, hey, every two drives, I want to take at least one shot. But you've got to be able to get at least one first down, because if you're taking a shot now, if it's not complete, I only got two plays before I have to either punt or we continue to drive. And that's to be able to move the football. But I am from the neighborhood. Hey, every two drives, I want to take a shot. And I think we're on the same page. My shot as far as down the field is at least 20 plus yards down the field. I understand you're saying just run a go route, but what percentage of that go route is actually going to be completed? It's one thing to throw a go route and it's a back shoulder where it's a plus 15, plus 20. You know, that's still a nice route. I still am able to move the corner. As far as his depth, he is not going to play and sit on the sticks as much. And I think that's one of the things that you have to be able to do. The other part about Chris, I think, and I can't speak for Bobby. Obviously, Bobby is going to speak for himself, and he's going to tell you a couple times how he truly feels. But I think Bobby's disdain for Chris right now has to relate to yak yardage. And, you know, being able to make maybe the contested catch. That's one of the things, and you talk to Chris, he'll tell you, hey, look, I have to be able to make some of the throws or catches, even if the ball is not exactly where I want to. I've got to be able to come up with the football. The other thing is, yes, I have to be able to get yak yardage. You know, you go back and you look at the numbers, and it was a great number as far as catches, but not great as far as yards. And so some of that is because of how they're going to play him. And the other part of it is, you know, the ball has to be in the right place for me to catch it and continue to run. And, you know, for me, I've got to make a guy miss. I've got to break a tackle. So it's a combination of different things. But you're not going to go deep too often if you are not converting on first and second down and or third down and possessing the football, or you're not connecting on some of those throws. And the one guy that did have a deep route on the first drive was Alvin Kamara. Now, I'm intrigued. Because going back and looking at that play, that was the 4th-and-2 throw. I'm intrigued because I don't know if the route is a wheel route because it doesn't have the wheel sail, so to speak, by the back. The route looked like, to me, an option route or a choice route where you have, you know, I can take it up, I can break out, I can break left, or I can sit. And the quarterback and Alvin, you know, Spencer and Alvin, they just were not on the same page because you could tell by the body language or where the ball was kind of placed. If you go back and listen to Coach Moore, he talks about the scramble drill,
right,
where guys have to be on the same page or they have to get that more. So whether it was designed or not, that's a huge play. Maybe changes how the game unfolds. Maybe not changes the game, but changes how it unfolds if you can convert on that play.
Thanks for the phone call, Carl. And you're right about Chris Olave. He's got a career high, 10 receptions, 8 in the first half last week. So far, 23 receptions, 4th best in the NFL. His yak yardage, 2.1, is the lowest in his career. So hopefully that'll change. Take a break. We'll talk LSU and Ole Miss with Chris Gordy after the break here on Fans in the Pro. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister, WWL, AMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister on Fans of the Pro here till 6 o'clock when you'll listen to the Brian Kelly Show from yesterday. Then at 7 o'clock, it's the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. And he's been a good friend of the show, and we're happy to talk to him again. And that's Chris Gordy, at Chris Gordy, Locked on the SEC host, sideline reporter. How you doing, Chris?
What's going on, fellas? Good to be on.
Yeah, man, we appreciate it. It's another big one tomorrow. LSU 4-0, Ole Miss 4-0. A few, you know, probably not as expected. Trinidad Chambliss at quarterback. Talk about what he can do offensively, certainly with the win over Arkansas and Tulane. And you've seen the ability for him to run the ball and be elusive as a quarterback that maybe not as much as Austin Simmons. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, he's done it both for them, you know, running and throwing, and he's been really good at it too. I mean, his accuracy has been really, really good, and it's been a pleasant surprise. And I've had a few folks in Oxford kind of tell me that they think the offense actually run even smoother with him at quarterback over Austin Simmons. And that's saying a lot, because Austin Simmons was the guy that was at the Manning Passing Academy and was one of their captain leaders at you know, SEC Media Days. So, you know, obviously this kid's super talented, but, you know, he's going to see his toughest test he's seen yet. I mean, Arkansas, I think you could argue, is one of, if not the worst defense in the SEC so far. And, you know, Tulane didn't really put up a fight against them, but at the end of the day, it's Tulane. They're a group of five team. They're not an SEC defense. So, I think LSU's defense, looking through the first few weeks like it's their best defense they've had in over a decade, this is certainly going to be good on good, and we'll see how he responds. I've had some people tell me this week, oh, you know, is LSU going to let a Ferris State quarterback beat them? Well, you know, you look at it, I mean, he won championships at the FCS level. It's not like he was just some guy playing down at Ferris State. He was really, really good. And now at Ole Miss, he's turned into a player. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of plan Blake Baker has for him, because, as we know, running quarterbacks is what hurt LSU last year. But certainly they look through the first few weeks to be much improved in that area.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that he probably has over Simmons, even if it's at Ferris State, he is an older quarterback. He has kind of been there, done that, and not too many looks he's going to see that he hadn't seen already. And I think that's the one thing that Austin, you know, he doesn't have the playing experience on that college level. And that's probably what was frustrating, because he's immensely talented from a quarterback standpoint, but, you know, he just hadn't played. And I think that's when you talk about the offense running smoother, you know, they're able to run a lot more up tempo, and, you know, his ability to be able to say, hey, I'm going to tuck it. Or when, it is a read option game or quarterback run, you know, he's done it and he's familiar with it. And I think that's what's going to be the most intriguing piece of it. You know, Chris, I got to ask you, you know, just to match up, when you talk about in the trenches of both of these teams, how do you think, who has kind of the best unit, and how do you think that all unfolds?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. Look, LSU's offensive line, I think they've done some things to kind of hide them not being very good. You know, obviously getting rid of the ball very quickly like they did week one against Clemson, still sticking with the running game even when it hasn't been working in recent weeks. You know, you got to keep the defense honest. But we saw it last, you know, against Louisiana Tech 2 weeks ago. I mean, when LSU dropped back and it was a predictable passing down, you know, Louisiana Tech and even a couple of times the Southeastern last week, they were getting that penetration. And so, you know, I'll say this, I think Ole Miss has, you know, they're still kind of working out the kinks on their defensive line, waiting for somebody to emerge. We know how good Centurion Perkins is at linebacker, but, you know, as far as defensive line, look, if this were Ole Miss's defensive line from last year, I'd be petrified right now if I'm LSU, because that line that was led by Walter Nolan and Princely Amon Mielen, I mean, all those guys are in the NFL now. So, it was a much better D-line last year. It's a talented D-line. They're just unproven so far. So you're looking to see what bunch of those guys steps up for Ole Miss. But, again, I think that's good news for LSU, that they haven't had really a record yet on that defensive line for Ole Miss. And while LSU still works out all the kinks on their offensive line, but there's no doubt when it's a predictable passing down, they're gonna want to get after it, and, you know, watch for that you know, Garrett Nussmeyer being out there on an island, you know, with somebody bearing down on his face. He's gonna have to either take the sack or make the right throw, and, you know, God forbid, don't throw an interception, because this whole thing could come crashing down for him.
Do you expect Caden Durham tomorrow?
You know, earlier in the week, I would say no. I mean, I thought everything we heard was that he was doubtful and then questionable, doubtful. And, you know, then yesterday some of the reports came out that they think he's going to be a go. So, you know, I think it'd probably be a game time decision type thing. But, you know, the reality is, you know, if we're being real, for those who watched the film against Southeastern, I mean, I thought Juwan Johnson ran a little bit yeah, maybe not harder, but more convicted in choosing his running lanes, and you know, Deuce can speak more to that, obviously. But Caden Durham just seems a little bit hesitant, and then at times, you know, choosing the wrong hole or the wrong direction. So he's been okay. It's just, you know, we just saw that explosiveness from him last year when he gets out of that open space. Man, he's a bulldozer. You know, we're still waiting to see that a little bit from this version of Caden Durham. But like I said, I think a lot of that's been on this offensive line and not fully trusting them yet. But, you know, if I had to guess, if I was a betting man, I think he goes tomorrow. But, you know, again, it's kind of a wait and see.
Yeah, and Chris, that's what I was just going to comment on. You know, if I do have a new offensive line up there, and I have to have confidence in him. And, you know, right now that's what it sounds like from Durham's standpoint. He doesn't have confidence in, hey, that backside block, that backside cutoff is going to be there. You know, I've run right. This play two times, three times already, and they haven't made it. And so from not just from a hesitation standpoint, but maybe sometimes already predetermining where I'm going with the football based off the initial look, and it's not necessarily there. And it's like, man, you know, what's going on with Durham? And I think that's part of it.
Yeah, and he's a great back. I mean, I remember watching him in high school, and you know, he was a kid that, you know, on decision day, they didn't know if he was going to pick LSU. When he picked LSU, it was like, oh, this is going to be great. You got him and then Harlan Berry coming in. I mean, they've got talented backs. Talent is not the question, but yeah, it's just about this offensive line, how quickly they mature. And again, you can only learn, you know, this job is on the job training. You can't learn on the practice field how to be a good offensive lineman. You got to go do it. And, you know, they may take some growing pains this Saturday, but to me, guys, the key of the game is what LSU does with the ball in their hands of their offense, because I feel pretty good about LSU's defense getting some stops, getting to cover these wide receivers one-on-one. I mean, look, Ole Miss just cranks them out every year. They bring in a new group of three, and it just feels like, man, where do they find these guys? And, you know, whether it's Dazon Stripling or Harrison Wallace, they've had some nice guys come in. But, you know, Mansoor Delane, I expect him to cover these guys one-on-one and do a good job. But, you know, if they get a three and out and they get the ball back, it's up to LSU's offense to go do something with it. So that's going to be the challenge, I think, on Saturday, is does LSU execute? And by the way, I think they need touchdowns. I think settling for field goals is not going to be a good decision for LSU. They need six whenever they can.
And especially from their wide receiver position, Aaron Anderson and Barry and Brown, who've caught passes, you know, 6, 8, 4, 3, you know, for Anderson, you know, and 5, 8, 2, 5 for Barry, and but just one touchdown. You talk about field goals and, you know, touchdowns. I mean, those guys have, and for Aaron, his numbers are really coming back. Now, it's hard to say when you're playing Louisiana Tech and Southeastern, but man, does Ole Miss have the kind of cover skills for an Aaron Anderson and a Barry Brown?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we're going to find out. You know, a lot's been made of Sage Ryan and the narrative of, you know, how poor LSU secondary was the last couple of years with him back there, and now he's, you know, one of the starting safeties for Ole Miss. But, you know, I'm curious to see on the corners. Antonio Kite is a guy who's played, you know, a good bit of college football, and Jalen Braxton as well. So, you know, we'll see who ends up covering who. But, you know, I'll say this. I think, you know, that they have a good DC and Pete Golding. I think overall he's really good. It's a much different group than what he had a year ago. Last year they went and spent a ton of money in the portal, and they went and got NFL talent up and down that roster on the NFL, on the defensive side. I mean, I was just watching Trey Amos playing the game the other night in the NFL. You know, they need to, these guys are still kind of learning a little bit, and they're trying to see who are going to be their trustworthy guys. And so, yeah, I think this is one. You know, I talked to a buddy of mine who spoke with Chris Hilton at SEC Media Day. He said, which game are you looking forward to most? He said, Ole Miss. So, you know, it's kind of fortuitous. Chris Hilton sitting here with 3 catches for 20 yards on the season. Wouldn't shock me at all if he has a breakout game. But as you guys know, to push the ball down the field and have big explosive plays, you got to have that protection up front. And if Nuss doesn't have that time, well, again, this might be another week where I don't know if the explosive plays will be there.
you have had the best seat or one of the best seats in the House the last 2 years. Has there been anything more entertaining than 55-49 and 29-26 the last 2 years when these two teams have met?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, you know, Lane loves to tell people get their popcorn ready. I mean, this is one that, you know, again, depending on how good LSU's defense is, you know, could be another bit of a shootout. We'll see. But, you know, look, for LSU to have the offense that they had last time they went to Oxford with Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner, still lose the game. I mean, that's just I think that sticks in Brian Kelly's craw. And, you know, like I said, Blake Baker's done a much better job with this defensive unit this year. And nothing would sweeten the hearts of LSU fans more than to go get a win in Oxford and beat Lane Kiffin.
Well, Chris, I got to ask you, what are you having for dinner tonight? Or where are you staying at? Are you in Tupelo, or where are you staying at?
Yeah, you know what? We decided not to make the trip this week because we're heading to Oxford in a couple weeks from now. So we didn't make the trip this week, but plenty of great spots around there, Deuce. I would have hit you up if I was there looking for a recommended spot.
Well, I definitely understand that, and no worries at all. We got to chat offline about it.
Sounds good, man.
Well, appreciate your time. It's a big one, man. I mean, it's 4-0, both teams, yet there kind of still some questions that go with those 4-0 records. Chris Gordy, at Chris Gordy, thanks for your time. Have a great one, and we appreciate you joining Fans in the Pro.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
Take a break. Before we do, let me remind you that high school football fans, get ready. It's week 4 of our Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. Join Ian Ozan, Coach Lou Valden tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock for the most comprehensive high school football show in America. We'll be broadcasting live from the Shrine as John Curtis and Archbishop Rummel open Catholic League play. That's tomorrow night. Plus, we'll have prep reporters stationed at key games throughout tonight. Mandeville at Slidell, Brother Martin at Jesuit, LaRanger at Kentwood, Covington and North Shore. Get ready for Friday Night Lights. Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup presented by Acadian Companies and Dr. Pepper tonight from 7 to 10:30 right here only on WWL. Take a break. Back after this. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock in the Brian Kelly Show. They are done for the day at Bethpage Black. Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry tied Sam Burns and Patrick Cantlay. So it's 5.5 Europe, 2.5 United States heading into Saturday. So a bit of a comeback needed there. Also, we talked about LSU. I want to run through the schedule quickly so everybody knows what's going on. Tulane will be at Tulsa. Charlie's Cajuns will be hosting Marshall. That's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at Our Lady of Lourdes Stadium in Lafayette. Nicholls State is at Eastern Kentucky at 5 o'clock. Jackson State at Southern at 6 o'clock. Northwestern State is off McNeese State against Stephen F. Austin at 7. And Grambling State is at Prairie View. And I saved the most to talk about. Southeastern played LSU last week, lost 56-10. This week they're hosting University of Texas Rio Grande Valley. I don't know much about them. Did you know much about them?
University of Texas Rio Grande Valley.
UTRGV. So they're 4-0. I was like, all right, well, I'm not familiar.
I am not familiar with your game, well, Grande Valley.
You're about to hear something about them. They won their first game 66-0.
Okay.
Then they played Prairie View, much better team. They won 27-21. And then they beat Langston 80-0.
Yeah, Langston is.
Then they beat Texas Wesleyan 61-13. So they have scored 66, 80, 61, and 27.
But I'm wondering, are those FCS or NAIA schools?
I don't know. Prairie View's FCS. Prairie Langston, View, Texas Wesleyan, I believe, is FCS. But you're right. I don't even know Saul Ross. I never even heard of it. I don't even know what that is. Wow.
That is probably, if I had to guess, they probably have not been playing at that level.
So they have to blend their way in?
That's what I'm assuming. Yeah. But I have not done a lot of research, to be honest.
What? Did you?
Yeah, I have not done a lot of research on them to give you a lot of facts about them. And even the school, you know, to know from an enrollment standpoint what they look like, I couldn't tell you.
Same way. I had to look it up. I was like, UTRGV.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. So when you talk about some of the matchups in Louisiana, the Jackson State and Southern. That game's in Southern.
Yep.
That is one where it's a rivalry. You know, pretty much like your Southern Grambling. That's here in New Orleans, the Bayou Classic. But that game should be a pretty good game. You know, I hadn't followed either team closely. You know, I see, you know, when they're playing, you know, hey, what's going on? But that one should be a pretty good one. We know about the LSU Ole Miss matchup. The other one that you mentioned, Tulane, Tulsa. Yeah,
Tulsa.
At Tulsa.
Tough place
to play, because, you know, it's almost like, hey, do you fly into Oklahoma City, you know, and then and bus over? And I know Tesla. I know they sent, I'm a man, I'm 40, Oklahoma State.
Stillwater?
Yeah, no. They sent Coach Gundy. They were the reason that Oklahoma State got rid of Coach Gundy, because he lost to Tulsa.
To Tulsa.
And so I don't know if they will still be flying high, that being Tulsa, after that victory. And Tulane wants to get a little get back from their loss last week. But it'll be intriguing. That's a game. It's a tough place to play, but that's a game that Tulane should win.
Yeah. It's just tough. I mean, Tulane with that big win over Northwestern, then South Alabama. Duke was probably closer than they anticipated because they had such a lead early.
Well, you had their quarterback coming back, and so that's an emotional take. That's an emotional game.
So as we look to Sunday, there aren't many categories where you can say that the Saints can
favorites.
Or even can understand what Buffalo is going to do.
Well, no. I'm not talking about the whole game.
Right.
I'm just talking about when you line up from a positional standpoint.
Right.
Is it quarterback? Is it running back? Is it receiver? Is it tight end? When you line the positions up, which one would you say, yep, I would give the Saints a favorite here across the board?
Only because they're without Milano and Ed Oliver, maybe offensive line versus their defensive line.
Right. So when you look at this matchup, you say, okay, how do the Saints win? And we talked to Steve earlier. They want to get in the shootout. So the first question becomes, can the Saints put up enough points?
You don't want to get into a track meet, though. You got to try to avoid it, right?
You don't want one, but you know – offensively, if I play fast, then my offense has played better. When things have slowed down, it's kind of bogged down for them as well. But when you talk about getting into a track meet, if my defense can create 2, possibly 3 turnovers, then that may swing it enough for you. Now, the Saints don't have to be perfect, but they have to be very good. They don't have to be perfect.
But
you have to be very good. And one of the things that I think that we will see from this team is to go out and prove that they are a lot better team than what we saw last week. Because what you put on film and what you showed last week, it's almost like, man, I got to look at myself. As a player, I got to really look at myself, because I know I'm better than that. I'm not even talking about from a team standpoint. Because the first thing people ask is, all right, how do you get the team better? Well, first, if you're going to be honest, what am I doing? Am I doing everything that I'm supposed to do and everything that I can do? And then if that's the case, if the answer is yes, then you go to, okay, what does my team need me to do? And that's where it's almost like, yeah, coach can help you. But if you're not checking yourself, then you're not helping the team.
Three areas. Penalties, Saints average 10.3 a game, Buffalo 4.6. The Saints have not scored a point in the first quarter. They've given up 30. So it's an uphill climb every week. And I think this will be key, because Steve Tasker talked about this as well, that Buffalo cannot get off the field on third down. Well, Buffalo is 16 of 37 on third down defensively, and the Saints are 17 of 37.
But the Saints defense hadn't been able to get off the field on third down. They did a little bit better, but I mean, it's almost like both defenses, once you get them in third and long, particularly for the Saints, you get them in third and long, it's like, all right, how do you want this? Do you want it on the ground? Do you want it in the air? You know, can we come away with a stop? And I know that you can do it because you play well on first and second down. It's not that you rotate everybody out and you have this special group that you're putting in on third down that is causing the problems. Yeah, you probably have minimize how much that you're subbing to get into certain packages because I've played well. You know, I, obviously, if it's a passing down, I'm not going to leave my base look out there. But I'm interested. Steve talked about Buffalo being comfortable in 13 personnel. Well, 13 personnel is a heavy personnel. Yeah. 13 personnel means that you have three tight ends, one receiver, and one back.
Yep.
Normally, when the Saints, and we saw this last week, when they saw that look, the Saints go five down. And what I mean by that, they truly have five defensive linemen in the game. Now, what you've had is Carl Granderson and Cam Jordan having to drop into coverage. And they've done a pretty good job of it. But now you're going to be asking them to cover tight ends and or backs, a back, when they do that. Because Buffalo is fine playing in that type of look. The Saints last week did not go a lot of nickel based off of 12 personnel. Saints stayed in their base defense, which has been two linebackers and a five-down look. Now, they can go with another linebacker on the field, a true linebacker and not a defensive end. And, you know, we'll see if that's how they try to win a matchup against the Bills. But I'm intrigued to see the cat-and-mouse game.
Right. Could be a lot of it. I mean, at 13 personnel, brother, they throw out of it as much as they run.
But that's my point. And so if you're going to go heavy – for the Saints, that's a run look for me. Now you're going to ask your drop defensive ends to have to drop and cover a tight end or a back, depending on how you match it.
Going to be interesting. Sunday at noon, week four. Take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. This is Fans of the Pro, WWLAMFM.com. Always free in the Odyssey app. Welcome back. I want to have a little shout-out to the Magazine Pizza Group for feeding our Saints game day crew, Magazine Pizza. 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. My thanks to the phone number who ends in 2611 in my college roundup. Had one of the pages missing. Louisiana Tech will be at UTEP. So go Bulldogs. Get that victory. Big weekend high school football. LSU and Tulane tomorrow, Saints, tough one in Buffalo on Sunday. And then they're home for two games. So, surprise, surprise, things can happen. Who knows? Thanks to Charlie Long in the booth. The Brian Kelly Show is coming up next, and it's the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great Friday, and we'll start and listen for you. LSU tomorrow and Saints on Sunday. Have a good one.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.